Now we talk, we're on paper D now, which is the audit plan for the pension fund.
Okay, Chairman, this one is definitely me because as those members who were here last year on the audit plan, we say that it's not the manager of the pension fund, because he is my manager for the audit, for the council audits, but due to our independence restriction, we have a separate manager who looks after this aspect of the audit for me. Looking again at the overview of the audit strategy, and this is on page D5, we again have the overarching risk that David mentioned in relation to the council audit. So again, the assumption that no matter how good the system of internal control, if somebody really wanted to, they could probably find a way of overriding that. So there are certain requirements that we carry out every year as auditors, and that is the risk in relation to that's called mistakes due to fraud or error. We then looked at if management had the opportunity and had the intention to manipulate financial statements in any way, how would they be able to affect that? Now, for pension funds, it would be quite tricky. In many ways, because you have an independent custodian and you also have independent fund managers, and at the end of the year you receive reports from both those sources that give you a valuation of the investments, and it is that valuation when it is brought into the accounts which is really the only opportunity for being able to manipulate that. But it is reduced to a relatively low level because you have two different sources of evidence for that. And that's really the risk that we've identified with the risk of manipulation of investment valuation income. So it's where the error might fall in as you're bringing those values into the savings at the end of the financial year. Again, there is a new risk around accounting standards, and that particularly for the pension fund is really in relation to IFRS 9 and financial instruments. This is probably inherently slightly more complex than the pension fund. We would expect that to have more of an impact this year in terms of the level of disclosures that might be required. But again, we were talking to officers about that at the start. For the pension funds, there is no value for money conclusion assessment. And so it is very much focused on risks in relation to the financial statements. Probably all I wanted to say in relation to introducing the report, and again, I'm happy to take any questions.
Right, so on paper D on the pension fund, are there any questions, please? Chris?
On page D11, two questions. First relates to the first paragraph, that during the 17-18 financial year, we received correspondence from the pensions regulator regarding inadequate training. Can somewhere in the room give us an assurance that this is ongoing and sorted out?
I can answer that one. Firstly, be careful, it's the pensions board, not the pensions committee. The two different pensions board is a bit like a scrutiny committee. And the query was whether the pensions board had received enough training to fulfil their function. And at the time, they hadn't. And since then, there's been a series of training programmes, whatever you'd like to call it, which have taken place, to which both the members of the board are invited and the members of the pension committee. It doesn't do any harm if the members of the pension committee know what they're doing as well. And that is an ongoing process, and in fact the regulator has now closed their file on this particular item because they're satisfied that enough training is taking place. Not that it's complete, but it's on its way.
Excellent. The second question relates to the members' data. It says that there were ongoing issues for reporting the data, and that this has happened for 3 years prior to that. So that's 4 years worth of incorrect submission of data. Something seems to be wrong with the system there. We aren't getting it right after 4 years. Comments, please.
Which page are you on, please?
Still on D11. Members' data at the bottom of
D11. We've got Joe Cook here. I don't know if Joe can answer that one, please, or give us a steer.
Pensions, we have been actually looking at the membership data, the thing We are about to start a new valuation, so when the data is downloaded, hopefully that should be solved.
So we'll be confident that
yes.
By the end of March.
Yes, it's been called, it's caused by information coming through from employers that hasn't been accurate, so that's what's caused the dispatch.
Thank you.
Brian.
If I'm right, if I not bring this up in September, meeting or whatever it was, because it's the same character as a I brought it up there, and I think there was a note saying it would be sorted out by December 18th. This is the same month.
Yes, this is the same issue. The original date was supposed to be in the end of December, but unfortunately it slipped slightly, so we will be in March now.
But we weren't advised that date would change.
I don't think it was raised at the last meeting because you weren't here, Brian.
I'm just saying, given the date when it was ready, it was missed, or well, not missed, but it was pushed back. The committee wasn't advised to be pushed back.
I take the point. Can it be entered in the minutes, please? This will be reconsidered.
Data officer, then.
Sorry, Reg?
You've now taken on a data officer. That specific task.
Joe?
Yes, that's right. We have a data recruitment officer who's been liaising with employers directly, but the historic issues are being done as a specific project.
Yes, Chris.
Throughout this document, there are a lot of things that sort of the gaps are going to be sorted by March 2019. Can we ask our next meeting? All of these deadlines, we actually get a report back on just whether we've achieved them or not, because there's probably about 10 different places it says that something will be done by March 19. We won't have these papers in front of us at the next meeting. I think it would be good to actually ask for a report back on those deadlines and whether we have achieved them.
Yes, normally speaking, Jo Thistle would attend this meeting, but she's away this week, and that's really a request that I would put to her, so I would ask Joe Cook if you could pass that on, please, for reporting back at our next audit committee meeting. I'm happy to do that. Helen, yes.
Sorry, if I could just add to that. So, because we have identified these as two areas of focus in our audit planning report, we will be reporting back on that in our audit results report that comes to the committee in July. So, there will be the that will be the ultimate backstop in terms of we will report back to you at that point as well as to whether the issues have been resolved and whether there are still any ongoing issues in relation to white confirms.
Yes, Chris.
That's brilliant, but I think we need to know early if we're missing the dates, because if we miss the dates in March, we won't get the report in July. But it's another day in March, so someone can take some action rather than taking in July when the opportunity to take action has been missed.
Right, can I just respond? I absolutely take the point, Councillor, in terms of being able to respond to action. So we are not responsible for the actions, we are responsible for this is something that impacts on our responsibilities as your auditor, and therefore we will be reporting back. I just wanted to confirm that, you know, regardless of what happens at the next meeting, you will still get a report from us to clarify whether the issue has been addressed or not.
But we will ask for a report from Joe Thistlewood next time round to do that. Is that okay to go in the minutes, please?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions on this paper, please? So can we note this? This is paper D, the audit plan for the pension fund.
I'll post it there, Chairman.
Right. Paul's opposed and Chris has seconded.